affiliates. Head on with Bob Kincaid in 1 minute. Mark. Affiliates, head on with Bob Kincaid, 30 seconds. Mark.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Good evening. It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It's a prayer meeting edition. This is the little dust-up we call Head On. I am Bob Kincaid. You know what the phone number is. We got another phone number if you want to know that one, too. It's 304-658-3333. Email is easy. Bob at headonradio.com. And my lovely wife behind the board, Agnes at headonradio.com. So any way you want to go to get involved in the program, by golly, hey, you can stand on the porch and yell, but you know, it's your choice. Yeah, dear.
Or you may be looking for Angus.
Yeah, we've got some spelling problems out there on the headonradio.com message boards. You know, every night I say that's Agnes at Head On Radio, A-G-N-E-S, and one of our better spellers on the board has decided it's A-G-N-U-S. Then we've had A-N-G-U-S, Angus.
That would be Angus.
Oh God, I don't even want to think about where that one goes. It is a prayer meeting edition tonight, so we're going to start with a good prayer meeting oriented story. Dateline Columbus, Ohio. In from Central Ohio's news leader, Channel 10. A discrimination complaint's been filed against a New York Catholic school after an unmarried teacher was fired for being pregnant. Wait for it. Just wait for it. Preschool teacher. Her name's Michelle McCusker. She's a preschool teacher. She teaches little preschoolers. And, you know, at a little Catholic preschool, she's been fired. Fired for being pregnant, that's right. Because she's unmarried. You get that? She's been fired for being pregnant and being unmarried.
What are they going to do about Mary?
Oh, she'd be fired too. You know, I want to know what they're going. I want to know what they're going to say to the little. You know, where's Miss McCusker? We liked her. Well, honey, I'm sorry. She's been fired for being a harlot. I thought the church was all pro-life and more babies. Didn't you? This is one of those that kind of makes your little eyeballs roll back in your head. Living on one of those alternate universes. Ms. McCusker said, I also don't understand how a religion that prides itself on forgiving and valuing life could terminate me because I'm pregnant and choosing to have this baby. She could have gone and had an abortion, not said a word about it, and the church would be none the wiser and she'd still be employed. You get that? We got some real pros operating here. Meanwhile, they can't quite seem to work up a good old-fashioned give-a-damn about little boys getting kitty-diddled by priests. But we're going to fire that preschool teacher because she's all knocked up. You got to love them. You just do. What was the official... here it is. What was the official reason given? She got a pink slip. Oh, how cute. She's having a baby. She got a pink slip. Telling her a teacher cannot violate the tenets of Catholic morality.
That's no problem.
Wow. Cannot violate the tenets of Catholic morality. So, I'm trying to figure out what the morality involved here is. Is it you shouldn't get pregnant when you have sex? Or is it having sex... she's unmarried. Does it have to? Agnes mentioned that. That's A-G-N-E-S. Agnes mentioned it a couple of minutes ago. If she's unmarried, does it have to be an immaculate conception? And what proof does the church have that this isn't one? Oh, I love these hypocrites. Ye generation of vipers. What a charming bunch. She's filed this complaint. And there's been no ruling on it yet. She went to the principal. She was honest. She was upstanding. She was upright. Principal Whackbottom, I'm pregnant. Get out, you whore! Probably threw a little holy water as she went along the way. And you know, it amazes me there are still people out there who wonder. When I talk about the morally bankrupt, ethically dead pro-life movement. They're encouraging this woman to go and get an abortion, but I'm sure they'll be right there with the picket signs and the little fetuses in jars. Well, don't let Rick Santorum know there's a fetus in a jar. He'll come try to play with it. Outside an abortion clinic. Oh, it's my right to life. Oh, sacred babies. Oh, control the women. Oh, sew their legs together. But you, Ms. McCusker, you're fired. You slut. You tramp. You trollop. You, oh my God, you pregnant, unmarried woman, you're fired! Oh, Lordy, I have a feeling we're going to have fun tonight. Tell you what, that's not all there is. Here's tonight's mystery question. Who is Danny Bupp? Who is Danny Bupp? And we'll explore that. After we come back from the break. And, of course, it's November the 22nd. Somewhere along the way, you got to say something about what that means. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Small cottage lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to EnergyHog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At EnergyHog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to EnergyHog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer when it's most treatable is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or a terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
All right, back to it. 17 minutes after the hour. Phone numbers again, 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366 and 304-658-3333. Email to Bob at headonradio.com. It'll be seared into your brain like a little laser etching, right? All right. To the phones. Jim's with us, and Jim noted my commemoration of the date. What do you got for us, Jim?
Well, as you well know, today is the 42nd anniversary of President Kennedy's assassination.
Yeah, sort of the early 1960s version of 9/11, wasn't it, in many ways?
Well, yeah, it was. And I want to share a few thoughts about President Kennedy with you.
Go right ahead.
And if you'll just give me a little time, I'd appreciate
sure.
it.
Sure.
Okay. I first met John Kennedy when I was 15 on a high school field trip. When he came to Columbia, South Carolina, campaigning for the presidency in September of that year. And it was for me a very stirring moment for a 15-year-old boy.
I can imagine it would be.
And later, at the age of barely 18, I was a freshman at the Citadel walking down the gutter. Because freshmen had to walk in the gutter as part of the plebe system
mm-hmm.
on the afternoon of 22nd November of 63. And I had just seen him on TV that morning when he was at Fort Worth. And at Fort Worth, and I noticed, you know, how good he looked and how proud I was that he was my commander in chief.
Mm-hmm.
And how proud I was of that. Mrs. Kennedy as our first lady, because we really, in those days, shone before the world the way we've never shone before.
Or since.
But anyway, unfortunately, fate intervened, and, you know, he had in the pocket of his jacket a speech.
Mm-hmm.
And
That was the speech he was going to deliver when he got where he was going in the motorcade.
And this is excerpted from Let the Word Go Forth, not the Internet. Page 404, page 405. It's just a paragraph.
Okay, go ahead.
And I'll read it as best I can. We in this country, in this generation, are, by destiny rather than choice, the watchmen on the walls of world freedom. We ask, therefore, that we may be worthy of our power and responsibility, that we may exercise our strength with wisdom and restraint, and that we may achieve in our time and for all time the ancient vision of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That must always be our goal, and the righteousness of our cause must always underlie our strength. For as is written long ago, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain.
There's a generation, yours, I was barely a year old when it happened, Jim. But that, your generation and mine...
Call me into public service.
Yeah. So many people were inspired by him. He had a profound and changing influence on West Virginia itself.
I know. And I can remember, usually on cold Sunday afternoons during the winter, because the tourist crowd wouldn't be that heavy up at Arlington, that I used to go to the gravesite and sit there. And believe you me, no matter how cold it was, 20 feet away you could feel the warmth of that eternal flame, by God.
Oh, yeah.
But I can remember just standing and facing Washington and reading the excerpts from his speeches that were inscribed on those marble plinths in that semicircle, that hemisphere,
mm-hmm.
knowing that 11 days before his assassination, he had had to visit Arlington, and he had remarked on what a great place for a burial or a good spot for a person to be interred. And little did he know that they would be preparing his own interment 11 days after that. And with him died a dream. And,
With him died a certain vision of America.
But I will say this, and Jack Valenti was on IMUS this morning. Mm-hmm. Jack Valenti was one of LBJ's top advisors.
Right.
And Johnson had the sense enough to maintain that bond beneath the Kennedys, even though they didn't like him. And he pushed Kennedy's program through.
Yeah.
And, I mean, those programs were stalled until LBJ got them. We got to give LBJ credit for the civil rights and a lot of other things.
Yeah.
And he did a lot of good things. Vietnam is what killed him. And he just...
Well, he got suckered by the military-industrial complex.
Exactly. And when he would, you know, whenever Jack Valenti and, you know, LBJ used to receive people in his bedroom, he was pretty informal. He's pretty informal about giving a lot of the things, about like giving interviews on the John and stuff like that. But,
yeah,
you know, whenever he would hear about another soldier being killed in Vietnam, he said it's like drinking carbolic acid. And, you know, he tried to deal with Ho Chi Minh.
He was trapped in his times.
He was trapped in his time, and it killed him. I mean, within 4 years after he left presidency, he was dead.
Yeah, and nobody, I don't think anybody realizes that, Jim. LBJ died at 64.
Right. He was a young man, and he just lost the will to live and let his hair grow long, gained 40 pounds, started smoking and all that. But, I mean, he did an awful lot. I know he did not have the elegance of President Kennedy and his wife. But he was a mover and a shaker in the Senate, and he did carry out the Kennedy legacy. And no member of the Kennedy cabinet was discharged by LBJ. They all left of their own accord, and, you know, they just didn't want to work for him, and they had other opportunities, I guess. But I guess the point I'm trying to make is that President Kennedy was truly a visionary, a man of great talent, of great intellect, and of great ability. And he was a genuine war hero, a man whom I respected,
mm-hmm.
who had a profound influence on my life.
A man who could go into the Oval Office and wear that mantle of power and be trusted with it.
Let me tell you something. If it weren't for John Kennedy, we might not be here. because people will just never know how close we came to having the exchange of maybe involved in a total response against the Soviet Union over Cuba. I mean, we will never know how close we came in that thing. And they're doing documentaries and movies about it right now. But, I mean, the world literally held its breath and made no comment.
Well, and see, Jim, that's one thing that's worth contrasting with what we have now, where Kennedy and Kennedy's people were dedicated to trying not to have that nuclear conflagration. We have people in power now, people in positions of profound influence, who yearn for that, who think that nuclear weapons can be used in a limited tactical nature, who think that there are, you know, that there are such things as battlefield nukes that are okay.
Well, that's not so.
Well, whether it's, I mean, we know their names, Jim. Feith, Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, Cheney,
they're crazy.
Pearl.
These men, they've simply gone mad thinking that. And they've never been in the, and they obviously they've never been in the battlefield testing ground when they've seen a tactical nuke go off. Because I'll tell you, you start airbursting those things over people and see if you don't get the silos opening and the submarine launch ballistic missiles in the air by the tactical plane.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you something else. I don't know, somebody was talking about they found uranium or some type of plutonium in Iraq.
Yeah, that's already been debunked, but yeah, go ahead.
But, I mean, I want to say this. You know, I wish they would get a hold of that stuff, and I wish they'd let the people in Vienna at the International Atomic Energy Commission examine it. Because, as I told Agnes last night, plutonium leaves a signature.
And sure
they
does.
Can tell where it was made. They can tell you when it was made.
What yeah, it's got
out of the factory. Even if they were to go to a nuclear bomb site where one had been exploded, they could tell you if it was made in Hanford or Oak Ridge, or if it were made a foreign manufacturer.
Yeah.
Now, if they found all this stuff in Iraq, this radioactive stuff, then let's let the IAEA go ahead and get in there and find out where it came from.
Well, you wouldn't want to let that happen, though, because if you did that, you know, where would the wingnut monkeys go? What would they'd have nothing to squeal and hop up and down and flap their little bat wings about.
Well, I don't understand. I mean, why should they be afraid of the truth?
That's the God, Jim. I mean,
right, we need to know where
wingnuts are afraid. Right wingers, Bush supporters, Bush voters fear the truth like vampires fear sunshine.
I know. But, I mean, really, I mean, when we're talking about weapons-grade plutonium, it has a signature, and we can tell where it came from. It may have come from us.
It may have. The poison gas came from us. Jim, we've got to hit it. I appreciate your thoughts on President Kennedy.
Thank you.
Take care. Break time.
Our troops. We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, in yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and coast guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he that... Nureyev. Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs?
Sure about that?
Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. It is a Wednesday night prayer meeting edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And Jim's comments about President Kennedy really do... You can't help but think back and wonder what would have been
and B, compare the notions of public service that were put forward by John F. Kennedy with the notions of public raiding, public greed that are put forward by these filthy thugs. And that's, yeah, look, that's what they are. They're not, is there anybody that has any sort of a notion that Elaine Chao is a public servant? Is there anybody deluded enough to believe that Dick Cheney is a public servant? You know, shall we run through the rest of them? Ann Veneman? Does anybody actually believe that Donald Rumsfeld holds himself out as a public servant? There is not one member of the Bush administration that serves the public. They serve themselves. They serve their goals. They serve their masters. They do not serve us. They do not serve the public. They serve the timber interests and the coal barons, and God knows in his heaven that they serve the oil companies, and they serve the insurance companies and the banking lobby. They serve no member of the public. They're garbage, they're human waste, and I despise them for it. They're pirates, and not the good flying spaghetti monster kind. They're pirates, and I loathe them. We had it for use last night, but we didn't get around to it. Donald Rumsfeld, that murderous freak, who in any civilized society would not be allowed to go about in public, wandered over to This Week with Judas Iscariot, or George Stephanopoulos.
I didn't advocate invasion. No, I wasn't asked. If you read all the books and the things.
Ah! No, he didn't. He did. He was asked why he, you know, if things were, you know, the straight up question was, you know, well, if you knew then what you know now about, you know, there's no WMDs, no chemical weapons, no biological weapons, no mobile weapons labs, no aluminum tubes. The yellow cake from Niger was written on a freaking piece of paper with a crayon. It was such a pathetic forgery. If you knew all that now, Rummy, you mean old coot, would you still be advocating for war?
The fools. The mad fools.
And the guy has the nerve to sit there and say, I didn't advocate for anything. I didn't do it. It wasn't me. I mean, Donald Rumsfeld as Bart Simpson. I didn't do it, man. It wasn't me, man. I didn't advocate. I didn't advocate for war. The bald-faced willingness of these bloodthirsty...
I'm sure the president understood what my views were, but as a technical matter, did he ever look and say, what should we do? Should we go do this or not do that? This is something that the president thought through very carefully.
Are you trying to distance yourself from the war with that?
Of course not. I agreed completely with the decision to go to war. And said that 100 times. And don't even suggest that.
I'm just asking.
Yeah, well, you know better.
No, you know better. You know better. No, George Stephanopoulos, who may be a lot of things, including a backstabbing little turd, he didn't know better. The whole world watched while they decided to take us into war in Iraq. He didn't know better. We don't know, but, oh, no, the president never asked my opinion. Why? I'm just the Secretary of Defense. Why in the hell would the president want my opinion?
The interesting thing to me about the pre-war intelligence is clearly it was wrong.
Really?
It was wrong, but everyone saw the same thing. In the
no, they didn't.
Branch, in the legislative branch.
No, they didn't.
Other countries that was presented at the UN.
Oh, you damn liar. You dirty little liar, God will send you to hell for your lies. Everybody saw the same thing. No, they didn't. That's been taken care of. We talked about it a little bit last night. The Germans, you know, the other nations saw it. No, the Germans tried to tell George Bush that Curveball was drunk out of his freaking mind, sucking on wood alcohol down under a bridge over the Euphrates with the screw top wine bottle boys. The Germans tried to tell us that you couldn't trust Curveball as far as you could throw him. You know, the whole business with, well, you know, they met in Prague and they had lattes and those little biscottis and one of them was covered in chocolate, and we know because Curveball told us it was drunken insanity.
I think I will see what I can tell them the next time. These crazy Americans, they believe anything I say. Woo!
Monsieur! Has it worked?
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, well, you know, the legislative saw the same thing as the executive saw, and the blind man picked up his hammer and saw, and... No, because, see, we had the commentary from former Senator Bob Graham of Florida, who was the chairman of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, and he said specifically, I saw a bunch of stuff, but I didn't see what the White House saw, and when I did finally get to see it, and I ordered a national intelligence estimate, it came back and it was nothing but one long argument for war that it had all of the discrepancies pulled out of it. Filthy, filthy, dirty, rotten liars. And see, there goes Bobby's name calling again. What do you call someone who tells you things that aren't the truth? Jeez. Non-truth tellers? Is that the problem? Middle of the road American voters who, you know, they don't like all this politics of personal destruction. So we can't say a lie is a lie. Why in God's name do you think that Cheney is out there saying, well, you know, if you call the president a liar, it's reprehensible. It's reprehensible. Why do you think he's doing that? Because he knows that they're lies. Sorry. Kincaid family pet crisis. Didn't figure you guys needed to hear that. But the reason that, oh, you can't call us liars. No, the reason they say we can't call them liars is because they're liars and they don't want us to. Well, why isn't the Congress out there demanding an investigation? Because the Congress is taken up with liars, too. The White House is controlled by Republicans. The Supreme Court is controlled by Republicans. The House of Representatives is controlled by Republicans. The Senate is controlled by the Republicans. And they're not going to start investigating themselves. Oh, God. Heaven help.
Yeah, but if you call us liars, it's reprehensible.
What did Rummy say?
I didn't advocate invasion.
Liar!
No, I wasn't asked. If you read all the books and the things...
I wasn't asked. I was just standing there writing torture memos. Nobody asked me about whether or not I should... I was just suggesting that, I spend 8 hours a day on my feet. I like to work standing up. I don't know why a person considers it torture to have to stand up all day. Oh, Rummy. Yeah, but I didn't advocate for war. I mean, I'm a peaceful man. I'm a peace-loving... Well, wait, I kind of do like... Nobody asked me if I wanted to go to war, but I certainly agreed, and he certainly did know my... He knew my feelings about it. We've got the psychic hotline White House. You don't have to take a meeting. You don't have to discuss anything. You can you know, bend a spoon with your mind and then figure out that Saddam's got yellow cake and chocolate cake and devil's food cake uranium and the little colored sprinkles on the... Oh, my God. Makes your head hurt. Let's take a break.
I'm six.
I'm nine.
I'm four and a half.
And I've got asthma.
Do you know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack?
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Cause mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Roof fall accidents have declined significantly in recent years, but they still continue to claim the lives of too many working miners. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. No miner has to die from a roof fall accident. Miners and mine operators can take steps to reduce the likelihood of these tragic accidents in underground mines. Always follow the approved roof control plan for your mining operation. Make required roof examinations before starting work. Look at the roof closely, listen, and sound it out. Install additional roof support when you encounter adverse roof conditions. Always use maximum supervision and oversight when performing retreat mining operations. Never, ever walk or travel under unsupported roof. Make the right decision. Focus more attention on roof control in underground mines. Thank you for listening.
So, which one's yours?
The one at bat.
Strike two.
Oh, that's okay, Chris. Only my kid could strike out in T-ball. Oh, son, Chris, go!
Looks like he's having some trouble running.
Oh, he's wandering way off the baseline.
It's like he can't see.
Oh, my gosh, his helmet is too big.
It's as big as a bucket.
You know, I must have gotten him an adult one. What was I thinking?
You're out.
Oh.
When safety equipment doesn't fit, it's game over. That goes for your kids, too. If they're too big for a car seat, that doesn't mean they're the right size for an adult safety belt. If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat. It raises them up so the safety belt fits properly. And the right fit makes all the difference to their future. To learn more, visit www.boosterseat.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. I don't know that we got to stop the world. We just got to stop the people who are trying to destroy the world. Don't know how to do that, really. I know we might have a slim chance of getting something done in 2006, but my God, that's a year from now. And that involves taking over both the House of Representatives and the Senate. and on a, you know, on a thing, things have been reapportioned and redistricted in such a way that, you know, it's harder to remove a member of Congress from office than it was to than it was to remove a member of the old Soviet Politburo. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, and this is worth mentioning, the reapportionment. You know, that's a product of the civil rights movement. And, you know, we all know that Sammy Melito, Sammy Bad Breath, we all know that he he's come out in favor of strip searching 10-year-old girls. We know that. We know that he's come out in favor of restricting a woman's right to do with her own innards as she sees fit. We know that. And, you know, he also came out, and, you know, that was his excuse for, you know, when he was with the Reagan administration, DOJ under Ed Meese, oh my God, when he was with them, he said, look, you know, what? What do you want? A woman has no right to control her own body. That's not in the Constitution. Never mind the fact that it's the very essence of the Constitution. You know, we had really, really brilliant people who put the Constitution together, who framed it up and filled it in. And you know, some of them, like James Madison, thought that, well, they didn't think there needed to be a first, they didn't think there needed to be a guarantee of religious liberty or freedom of speech or anything. In large part because they thought that nobody in their right mind would ever argue that that didn't exist. And for all the things that those founders and framers were, including geniuses and absolutely brilliant, it turns out they were a little bit short-sighted where it concerned the ability of the American people to dumb itself down to death. My God, well, you know, and you can hear it. It comes from the Liberty Lobby or whatever, and it comes from the Heritage Foundation and the American Enterprise Institute and the Competitive Enterprise Institute and the Fascist Enterprise Institute and the Institute for Conservative Fascist Studies and God, Lord. And what do you hear time after time after? There is no right to privacy in the United States Constitution. It's simply not in there. Of course it's not. The right to privacy is the very essence of the Constitution. For a fool like Scalia to argue that there's no right to privacy in the Constitution, you know, but then again, he likes the kind of intellectual exercise where you try to figure out how many angels can do the one-legged boogaloo on the head of a pin. You know, he's into that kind of thing. He's a religious monster and a religious freak. But my God in heaven, think about it. Think about the people who showed up for the Constitutional Convention. People like Washington and Franklin and Madison, even Hamilton. Each and every delegate to the Constitutional Convention did one thing. There's one thing that they all did. They all contemplated their opinions of what was being drafted in private. And there is not one word in the entire Federalist Papers that suggests that any individual delegate to the Constitutional Convention did not have a right to privacy in which to contemplate his decision. And from that it also flows that there is no argument to be made that once they signed off on the Constitution that they gave up that right to private contemplation. Among brilliant men, I mean, we acknowledge the sexism of that age. It was men making those decisions. But among brilliant men, some things are so obvious that to comment on them would rise to the level of foolhardiness. And one of those things is the idea of privacy. My God, each and every one of them had run for their lives from various and sundry British troops. They were forced to quarter redcoats in their houses against their will. If that does not engender in you a desire for privacy, then nothing will. The right to be left alone. It was a nation along the Atlantic seaboard that already had dreams of moving westward. And most of those people were moving westward for the right to privacy, the right to be left alone, the right to get out of the already overcrowding cities. You don't move into the hollers and hills of Appalachia and go up the furthest, you know, the furthest branch into the, you know, into the very tail end of the holler and build your cabin there because you like company. You build it there because you want to be left alone. You want your privacy. And that applies to men, women, children. It applies to it. It is the fundamental, basic human desire of self-determination. And if you do not have a right to privacy, you have no right to self-determination. And if you have no right to self-determination, well, you know, do over. Because none of this means anything. And so on top of all that, Fat Tony Scalia was at, he gave a lecture last night in which he said that Al Gore started the whole mess in 2000. What do you think we were going to do, just sit by? That's what he said. Scalia did. These filthy liars are so brazen they think they can just get away with it al fresco. The name of the case that went to the Supreme Court. Anybody? Everybody? 1, 2, 3. Bush versus Gore. It was filed by the Bush people. Al Gore didn't do that. But Tony can just stand up there, you know, in his hair shirt and his little piece of barbed wire wrapped around his Opus Dei leg and say, Al Gore started the... God will send him to hell for lying too. Or at least we can hope. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who is gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible. A cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
I'm gonna close my eyes. It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Here we go again, a Wednesday night prayer meeting edition. I'm Bob, and if there's something on your mind, bee under your bonnet, burr under your saddle, pick your metaphor. Well, your best bet's the telephone. Don't bottle that stuff up. It can be bad for you. 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366. 304-658-3333. And Bob at headonradio.com. I mentioned early on in the program the question, and most of you probably already know the answer. Who is Danny Bopp? Remember Danny Bopp? Danny Bopp is... wait a minute. No. Okay. That's that kids program on the Disney Channel. The Doodle Bops. No, Danny Bopp is... Let's see if we've got this here. Or did I cut out the Danny Bopp part? Well, never mind.
Okay.
Well, anyway, Gene Schmidt. God, I hate it when these things happen. Gene Schmidt, on the floor, what was it, Friday in the House of Representatives... on her 75th whole day being a Congress critter, got up and using her minute, swift-boated and slimed and smeared and slurred a 34-year veteran of the Marine Corps. And as the proxy, and this was covered very nicely, by, of all people, Howard Kurtz in the Washington Post today. She used this Danny Bopp person as her proxy, the cover for the slur that she wanted to deliver against John Murtha. I got a phone call a few minutes ago from Danny Bopp, who said for me to tell you to stay the course, and said to say to John Murtha... that cowards never run. Okay, have we found it?
A few minutes ago, I received a call from Colonel Danny Bopp, Ohio representative from the 88th District in the House of Representatives. He asked me to send Congress a message. Stay the course.
So you remember who Danny Bopp was.
He also asked me to send...
Now, you know, it's coming out of the mouth of a filthy, flesh-consuming Republican, so you know that it's not that there's got to be holes in it. There's got to be elements of untruth. See, I didn't call her a liar. There are elements of untruth. In this particular instance, the element of untruth would appear to be Colonel Danny Bopp, because one, he now says that he didn't say that to Gene Schmidt. He didn't say a blessed word about John Murtha. He said, I'm a Marine, and a Marine would never criticize another Marine. So, you know, the voters in that particular district down around Cincinnati have to have some soul-searching to do. Do they want someone who uses enhanced truth in Congress? See, I did it again. Didn't call her a liar, even if she is. But what's more... What makes this maybe an untruth wrapped in an untruth, surrounded by an untruth, is who is Danny Bopp? I just, you know, I want to start singing some old 50s doo-wop song every time I... Danny Bopp. Bop, bop. Who is Danny Bopp? Well, he's a... apparently this is his... first time through, he sits in, you know, he's a Republican in the state of Ohio legislature. But beyond that, if you do some nosing around, and it's pretty easy, Brad Blog, our buddy Brad Friedman, had coverage on this.
And he pointed to a report from Max Blumenthal, who did a little digging around and found out who is Danny Bopp. And I guess the short and sweet on this is that this is it really is. It's a swift boating all over again. Because Danny Bopp isn't just some isolated Republican out there in the hinterlands of Ohio who was desperate to get a message through to John Murtha to quit being such a sissy weenie coward and stand up and root for more Marines and various and sundry service personnel to die in Iraq. No, that's not who Danny Bopp is. Danny Bopp is, you know how this goes. Danny Bopp is a lawyer. And as a lawyer, Danny Bopp first achieved prominence as the pro bono legal counsel for, here it comes, I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't prayer meeting night, pro bono counsel for Adams County for the Ten Commandments. Adams County for the Ten Commandments. Danny Bopp used his lawyering skills because he was scared to death that some evil secular humanist was going to try to take away his Ten Commandments. You know, those Ten Commandments that are the basis of all American judicial thought. Especially the one about not coveting your neighbor's wife or your neighbor's ass or your neighbor's wife's ass. You know, those Ten Commandments. And, of course, all the other commandments that are incorporated therein by reference, like don't wear clothing that's made out of a blend of polyester and cotton. Or don't eat shellfish on days that end in R. Or women shall not cut their hair such that it riseth above the level of the nape of their neck, or any of that other stupid foolishness. At least in a modern era, stupid foolishness. Maybe it made sense when you lived in the desert, you know, and sand fleas were abundant and the lice. And maybe it made sense back then. Doesn't make sense now. You know, if it's part of somebody's religious preferences, fine, whatever, no problem. Enjoy First Amendment, good for you. Go and live well. But yeah, he's one of these Ten Commandment warriors. He's one. Roy Moore down in Alabama is among God's chosen because he chose to stand up for God. You know, I always loved that one. He chose to stand up for God. Who knew that God needed... Dude makes universes, for heaven's sake, and he needs one pimply little bit of nothing on the face of planet Earth to stand up for him. That's just sad.
I think there's something you forgot there, Bob.
What's that?
Thou shalt not kill.
Oh, no. I didn't forget anything, dear. There are caveats to that.
No.
And no, there are. Ask any right-wing fundy what that thou shalt not kill thing's about. Well, that means thou shalt not kill without a real damn good reason. That's what that means.
And thou shalt not take thy Lord's name in vain.
Right, which means that we must stop demon broadcasters from saying things like God booger on the air. It does not, however, mean that just because we go out and advocate for the slaughter of innocent Iraqi civilians that we're somehow taking the Lord's name in vain. No, that's not what it's about. See, that's the devil out there trying to confound the minds of the believers, just like them dinosaur bones do. They confound the minds of the believers. Can I hear an amen? Amen and amen. So that's your Danny Bopp. Who's Danny Bopp hang out with? Danny Bopp hangs out with, well, you know, here it is, the Rogues Gallery. Danny Bopp had a lot of help in his Ten Commandments efforts there in Adams County. He had help from James Dobson, Donald Wildman, there he is, Judge Roy Moore, Danny Bopp's hero, and Jay Sekulow. He hangs out with the Reverend Rob Schenck, who is not going to be happy until the Ten Commandments are tattooed on every chicken coop in America. Yeah, that Danny Bopp. So that's who Danny Bopp is. Let's take a break.
She don't even know her name. No one there knows where they come from. Could have been Abel, could have been Cain. She was raised by loving hands down by the Gulf of Mexico.
Once upon a time, in a small cottage, lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer when it's most treatable is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
What is the Fourth Estate?
You know, in old days, it wasn't about the exclusive. It was about telling the truth. It was about making sure the truth was portrayed in the media, you know, in print and in television and on the radio. And now the news has become a manufactured item. Today, news that today's media is complicit. And what we want to do, and what we're going to do, and what we are doing with the Fourth Estate is to create a place, well, if you will, a safe haven for the truth.
Fourth Estate Radio. It's again time to hold them accountable.
For the latest details, visit FourthEstateRadio.com.
Welcome back, and I've been alerted to something. You know, I was talking a little bit ago about how, you know, things like privacy in the Constitution, that's the sort of obvious thing that would have escaped someone as brilliant as, you know, the framers of the Constitution. Well, you know, they're not the only ones that can be absolutely defied by the obvious. Because it's Tuesday. Oh, Lord God, it's Tuesday. It's not Wednesday yet. This whole Thanksgiving week thing has got me all screwed up. We were having a discussion about, you know, family visiting relatives and relatives going here and going there for the relatives and blah, 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 blah. And it was, you know, we got to get there because the family's waiting. And got me completely convinced it was Wednesday. I jumped on my big stack of news and bang.
I'll
have to find some more prayer meeting stuff for tomorrow. Hey, look, another dozen eggs.
Screw you, Bob.
So, we'll do prayer meeting tomorrow. And I knew, because, you know, I don't know if you remember back in the bad old radio days, I had a soundbite from Green Acres talking about our every other Wednesday meeting. And I was going to reload that in, and I was thinking, I got to have it in for Wednesday this week. And why didn't I get it? Well, you know, because it's Tuesday. Because it's Tuesday. Oh, she does love it when I prove myself to be painfully mortal. Anyway, an email in from our buddy David. So, Bob, and this is off topic too. We'll return to Danny Bopp. Hell's bells, I got a story in here where George Bush wanted to bomb Al Jazeera. We'll get to that too. We got all kinds of time. We're not even half done yet tonight. I don't know. I may be half done. But there's plenty of time. Now, off topic, and I know what he's referring, you know, the message boards that are there, headonradio.com, God knows they're free. They're for you. It's a free-for-all. It's a ruckus. Jump in and have a darn good time. Just don't cross Agnes. But there's been one debate. It's in the West Virginia forums. Anybody hear Bob racking the slide of his pistol during the broadcast? What are we herding cattle in here now?
I want you to listen closely, boys. Do you know what that sound is?
Put the pistol down, Agnes! Jesus, I didn't mean it! Put it down! Quit racking the slide!
It's a can of Coca-Cola, morons.
That moment of name-calling brought to you by Agnes Kincaid. See, they're calling names. Them Democrats can't do nothing but call names. They just call names all the time. Anyway, that threat is there. Anybody hear Bob racking the slide of his pistol? Man, he's really crazy! So I get this note from David, who has apparently noticed the same thing. So, Bob, I'd be calling, but I'm too cheap to use my landline. Cell battery won't take charge long enough to call Pizza Hut, and just as important, I'm too cheap to call long distance on your dime, too. Hey, we offer to pay the freight. It's okay. I type, therefore I am. Took a rare look at your boards. Do you realize that some of those knuckle-draggers don't know the difference between the sound of a pop-top giving it up and an automatic pistol being shucked? I said shucked. Pretty funny. I'm actually a friend of all those drive-by truckers guys that do that song you play. Done photo work for them. Hey, wingnuts, take a fella's word for it that knows. It's a beer can opening, damn it! What's that you say, boys? You boys always drink out of fruit jars? Well, that explains it. Well, good luck. Sure hope it was copper tube and not a Ford radiator that brought that mash to clarity. Those lead salts that 190-degree corn can pull out of the solder plays hell with a brain. Keep up the good work, Bob, David in Tennessee. Well, you're right, David. Those salts can play hell with a brain. When there is a brain involved to be played with. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I do need to get my 1911 A1 out here and shuck it a couple of times, and just for comparison purposes. But yeah, the song we play at the end of the show every night is by the Drive By Truckers. It's called "Hell No, I Ain't Happy," and that sound effect at the beginning is a beer can being opened, because I'm guessing Patterson and Cooley and Jason and the rest, they've probably opened a few of those in their time. But yeah, that's just me, and otherwise I'm just crazy. So another head-on urban legend put to rest. Oh my God, I can't believe we actually had to address that.
You should have just let him thought that you were racking your pistol.
Well, no, everybody, you're the only one in the room that racks a pistol, honey.
Don't.
I mean, I think that was really cruel of you to sit there and rack the slide on your Smith & Wesson 4517 M1 and have them thinking it was a pop can. That was just cruel.
Now, Bob, you know, when we got engaged, you gave me a 357 Magnum.
Yeah, Ruger.
So, don't lie about the gun.
Well, I'm not. doesn't cancel out the other. And you're a darn fine shot.
I'm a West Virginia girl.
You know that perp target that you put out there at about, 25 feet or so, the silhouette dude, shot the crotch right out of it on the first try. I've had profound admiration and respect for her ever since. But, we got to take a break because it's the bottom of the hour. This is Head On. Oh, God, I'm Bob Kincaid. It ain't Wednesday.
This is the best time of the day, the dawn, the final cleansing breath, unsullied yet by acrid fumor, death's cacophony, the rank refuse of unchained ambition. And pray, deny me not, but know me now. Your faithful retainer stands resolute to serve his liege lord without recompense, perchance to fall and perish namelessly. No flag draped.
I'm just a kid. I'm six.
I'm nine.
I'm four and a half.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Because mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Roof fall accidents have declined significantly in recent years, but they still continue to claim the lives of too many working miners. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. No miner has to die from a roof fall accident. Miners and mine operators can take steps to reduce the likelihood of these tragic accidents in underground mines. Always follow the approved roof control plan for your mining operation. Make required roof examinations before starting work. Look at the roof closely, listen, and sound it out. Install additional roof support when you encounter adverse roof conditions. Always use maximum supervision and oversight when performing retreat mining operations. Never, ever walk or travel under unsupported roof. Make the right decision. Focus more attention on roof control in underground mines. Thank you for listening.
So, which one's yours?
The one at bat.
Strike two.
Oh, that's okay, Chris.
Only my kid could strike out in T-ball.
Oh, run, Chris, go!
Looks like he's having some trouble running.
Oh, he's wandering way off the baseline.
It's like he can't see.
Oh, my gosh, his helmet is too big.
It's as big as a bucket.
You know, I must have gotten him an adult one. What was I thinking?
You're out!
Oh.
When safety equipment doesn't fit, it's game over. That goes for your kid, too. If they're too big for a car seat, that doesn't mean they're the right size for an adult safety belt. If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat. It raises them up so the safety belt fits properly. And the right fit makes all the difference to their future. To learn more, visit www.boosterseat.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. The New York Times had at least two articles on Sunday devoted to the lack of decorum in Congress. Strangely enough, neither one of them mentioned freshman Congressperson Gene Schmidt, who called Democratic Congressman John Murtha, a decorated veteran, a coward. That the Republicans practice destructive politics is nothing new. They've been doing it for the last 25 years, and as their political power has grown, the attacks get worse and worse. Murtha is just the latest of several veterans to be attacked so viciously. Max Cleland and John Kerry were labeled as cowards and traitors, even though both had earned Purple Hearts during their time in service. Even John McCain found himself on the receiving end of these attacks when he dared to challenge George W. Bush in the Republican primaries. But the reasons Republicans do this is because they know they can get away with it. And a big reason they get away with it is that so-called professionals in the formerly respectable news outlets refuse to call them on it. Throughout the Clinton years, one made-up scandal after another was paraded across the headlines. Now, even though we have pretty conclusive proof that the Bush people lied their way into murdering tens of thousands of innocent Iraqis, any mention of that gets people labeled as moonbats. The politics of personal destruction only work when they're ignored or given legitimacy by organizations people look up to. But thanks to a burgeoning citizen press, the watchmen are themselves being watched, and the truth will invariably come out. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Welcome back. About 26 and a half minutes before the hour on a Tuesday night. Let's go back to our buddy Danny Bopp, as in Danny Bopp asked me to send a message to Congressman Murtha. You would think from the news reports you saw today that Danny Bopp wouldn't know Gene Schmidt from Adam's house cat. You would, of course, be wrong. These are old cabal buddies, Schmidt and Bopp. I know, every day, Bopp.
Hail Bopp.
Hail Caesar. Oh, next thing you know, we'll be playing 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon. Now, they're old buddies. Back when Bopp was running for office. Oh, and by the way. Bop's one of these godly people. So necessarily, yeah, of course, he's been divorced. Not that there's anything wrong with getting divorced. I mean, if you can't get along, get out. But, you know, this is one of those, freaks for the creator that I decide makes all the rules. This is one of the weirdos. Max Blumenthal writes over at Huffington Post. During the campaign, Bopp still found time to help his friend Schmidt, who was struggling to counter the momentum of her Democratic challenger, Iraq War veteran Paul Hackett. You know, she's not a veteran. She's just a mean, hateful woman who spent her time tormenting young women who were already tormented enough by the fact that they had an unwanted pregnancy. But that doesn't matter. Now, at a Schmidt rally, a political rally, and this is how these people are. It's the same deal that you get with you know, George Bush showing up, reading the same speech that he read a week ago at a Veterans Day thing in Toby Hanna, Pennsylvania, when in fact and doesn't even so much as honor the first veteran. He just calls names at people who disagree with his policy of getting more Iraqis slaughtered more effectively. Schmidt had one of those rallies. It was billed as an event to honor war veterans. It was a campaign rally, is what it is, and Danny Bopp showed up in full Marine dress regalia, his BDUs, his battle dress uniform, not his blues, his BDUs, and attacked Paul Hackett for criticizing his commander-in-chief, quote, "I served for 8 years under a president who loathed the military. But we never said a word about it." See how they are? Clinton didn't loathe the military. Unless in some twisted sort of alternative universe, loathing the military means not trying to get them killed for, you know, useless, purposeless engagements. What, dear?
Wait a minute. Hasn't this government cut the military more than Clinton ever did?
It's a lie.
Right.
It's a lie. But Bop shows up at a Schmidt rally, and you know that's how it is with these little wingnut affairs. You know what the first thing you do is you show up and you I hate that Bill Clinton. I hate him a real lot.
Get my love to the family. Get my love to the family.
And as a consequence of that. Well, Bop was elected to the Ohio State Legislature on his strong policy platform of hating Bill Clinton a whole bunch for a real long time, and Gene Schmidt, of course, we know, finally did manage to beat Paul Hackett after voting was suspended because of trouble with the voting machines. In her district, the Diebold and the ES&S machines. Yeah, those machines. So, you know, Schmidt's been in office for, I guess today was maybe her 79th day or something like that. And she's doing the people's business. Oh, Lordy, she is. She's doing the people's business. She's out there worrying about the deficit. She's trying to cut the fat out of the butt. No. She is the sponsor of the Pledge Protection Act. The Pledge Protection Act. What would the Pledge Protection Act do? Well, it would ensure that public school children include the phrase "under God" in their daily recitation of the pledge, no matter what them pinkos say, you know, them people that, you know, that separation of church and state ain't in the constitution of this here, the republic founded upon democratic principles. You know that. Yes, dear.
Did you see the picture of her?
We've seen the picture, yes.
Where she looks like if you put a set of horns on her, she would be Satan.
Yeah.
And she's out there doing the people's will. I mean, what?
The Pledge Protection Act. Well, we've got to have some. America is in a moral vacuum and needs some pledge protection.
But I thought that America was the land of the free and, you know, religious
only
freedom.
It's only the land of the free if you're free to make sure that "under God" goes into the Pledge of Allegiance. And that's why brave, brave Republican Congresswoman Jean Schmidt is out there doing the bidding of Danny Bopp, because he suggested this to her. He handed her the little bill to go and introduce. They've got to have the Pledge Protection Act. Amen. Can I get an amen, Agnes?
No.
Amen. Come on, amen. Don't make me come over there and lay hands upon you.
I don't do
Give me
that.
An amen. Gotta have an amen. No. Amen.
Well, evidently, Danny Bopp does not have her back now. Oh, amen, Bob.
Thank you. Ain't no sense in doing all this if you can't get an amen here and there. No, this is Bop's doing, so odds are when the phone call came through, because we now know that Bop said, well, I never called John Murtha no coward. I didn't, it wasn't me, it was that other Danny Bop. You know, the godless heathen communist Danny Bop that's a member of the ACLU, not this Danny Bop, not this good, upstanding godly Danny Bop, what writes legislation like the Pledge Protection Act. Yeah, it was introduced this month in Congress. Bop issued a press release. I'm firmly convinced that our forefathers, and not our foremothers, because they ain't got nothing to say, because we're godly, and we all know that women should be quiet in church and ask any questions that they have of their husbands once they get home, and that applies to government and school and business, too. I'm firmly convinced that our forefathers would believe it evil for anyone to try to strike the name of God from all things public. I didn't know the name of God was in all things public. Not only does Bop understand the psychology of cowards, says Max Blumenthal, he has special insight into the religious beliefs of our forefathers. You know, these are some pretty magical Republicans. They don't miss a trick. I mean, they can divine the religious beliefs of forefathers who were avowed deists who rather despised participating in organized religion. And, they can call people cowards and then say they didn't. So, you know, I'll leave it up to you. Is Danny Bopp the liar? Or is Gene Schmidt the liar? Somebody's lying here. Either Gene Schmidt or Danny Bopp. And they're both weirdo religious fundamentalists. You know, the people that, what was his name, Michael Scanlon, the guy who entered his guilty plea today, the guy that worked for Jack Abramoff and Tom DeLay, yeah, that guy, the guy who called, who said that they got their issues handled by the religious wackos. Has anybody gotten a memo to Dobson and Falwell and Robertson about that yet? I'm guessing no. Let's take a break. This is Head On.
Once upon a time, in a small cottage, lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged onto energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer, when it's most treatable, is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 Twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or a terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Stranded behind. Don't you go thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking so much till you're losing your mind. There's so many depressions all plowed in your brain. Trace them too far and they'll drive you insane. You're twisted so tight.
Okay, you know, one of the things I love about doing this is how quick you guys are. There's David down in Nashville or near Nashville, crippled up, won't use the toll-free number. And see, you're setting a bad example, David. We're not trying to dissuade people from using the toll-free numbers. That's, we pay the bill every month. That's what we get to do it. But at any rate, with a dead or dying cell phone battery that will soon have to have some sort of words apparently said over it and be buried at midnight. Crippled up, can't call, and yet all those miles away, and the wheels are turning. I'm sitting there going on and on in my Brother Bob business about the Pledge Protection Act. Whoo! Glory! And miles away, David sits and types with regard to Pledge Protection. Would that be lemon or regular? I read that. See, I read that and got my giggle out earlier. But, yeah, that's good. Thanks, David. And something else that arrived via email earlier in the day, I was tipped off to this by a very good friend of the show, Dr. Bill. A statement by Jim Wallace, and Jim Wallace is the head of Sojourners. Jim Wallace is a Christian, as opposed to Pat Robertson, Jerry Falwell, Dobson, that gang. Jim's in touch with his inner Jesus. And he writes, and I just want to share this with you because it's doggone good. I should save it for tomorrow night, but no. I don't think so. Let's do it now. The prophet Isaiah said, "Woe to you legislators of infamous laws, who refuse justice to the unfortunate, who cheat the poor among my people of their rights, who make widows their prey and rob the orphan." You know, I'm guessing Danny Bopp and Gene Schmidt have never gotten around to that little hunk of Isaiah, aren't you? Wallace says, Today I repeat those words. When our legislators put ideology over principle, it is time to sound the trumpets of justice and tell the truth. It is a moral disgrace to take food from the mouths of hungry children to increase the luxuries of those feasting at a table overflowing with plenty. This is not what America is about. Not what the season of Thanksgiving is about. Not what loving our neighbor is about, and not what family values are about. Amen, Brother Jim. There is no moral path our legislators can take to defend a reckless, mean-spirited budget reconciliation bill that diminishes our compassion, as Jesus said, for the least of these. It is morally unconscionable to hide behind arguments for fiscal responsibility and government efficiency. It is dishonest to stake proud claims to deficit reduction when tax cuts for the wealthy that increase the deficit are the next order of business. It is one more example of an absence of morality in our current political leadership. Budgets, he says, are moral documents that reflect what we care about. Budget and tax bills that increase the deficit put our children's futures in jeopardy. I was talking with someone the other day with a newborn, and we were discussing. That baby was born with a $40,000 bill, thanks to George Bush, where it would have, you know, it would have been zero under President Gore. And they hurt the vulnerable right now. The choice to cut supports that help people make it day to day in order to pay for tax cuts for those with plenty goes against everything our religious and moral principles teach us. It says that leaders don't care about people in need. It is a blatant reversal of biblical values and symbolizes the death of compassionate conservatism. The faith community is outraged and is drawing a line in the sand against immoral national priorities. It is time to draw that line more forcefully and more visibly. I applaud those House members who have stood up for better budget priorities and fought hard all year to keep issues of basic fairness at the forefront of this debate. And I thank those on both sides of the aisle who stood up and did the right thing in voting against this bill, despite pressure from the House leadership. These strong voices provide some hope for getting beyond an ideology that disregards the role of government for the common good. I respect Jim Wallace for having the nerve to say that. I respect Jim Wallace for pointing out that verse from Isaiah, because, you know, most of these people who call themselves Christians, these right-wing fundamentalist religion industry devotees, they're nothing approaching what Christianity is or is about. And what they like to live on is all the blood and gore and guts parts of the Old Testament. They like the, you know, they're, oh, look at Sodom, boy. Yeah, God sure nuked that place because it was all full of queers. Of course, that's not what it says later on in the Old Testament. They just take it, the little part there in Genesis, and run with it. They like to talk about how the Ten Commandments is the foundation of American jurisprudence. No, you want the foundation of American jurisprudence? Try the Code of Hammurabi. Try the Roman law tables. Try the Edicts of Solon. Try, more than anything else, Cook's Treatise on the Common Law in Merry Old England. Not the Ten Commandments. American jurisprudence rose up around the English common law. I mean, our Constitution was modeled on the Constitution of the Iroquois Confederation, but you never hear anything about that either. Although this is Thanksgiving week, so maybe that's one thing we have to be thankful for. Nope, heathens weren't good right wing fundamentalist Christians, so that's why they're not here anymore, and they didn't really have a Constitution. No sir, they didn't. No, nothing like it. They couldn't even write. So So, you know, God bless Jim Wallace, or whatever bless Jim Wallace, or Allah, or Yahweh, or that styrofoam coffee cup over on the corner table. Bless Jim Wallace. But you know what? Jim Wallace still doesn't get it. He doesn't. I can prove it. It is a blatant reversal of biblical values and symbolizes the death of compassionate conservatism. Compassionate conservatism was never alive. Compassionate conservatism is a fraud and a sham and a code to bring the right-wing religion industry hate groups out from behind the baseboards to vote for George W. Well, you understand that. And Jim, you know, Jim Wallace is a compassionate man, and he feels, he tries to live and walk the love and peace of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter. But some of that community is going to have to get in touch with that other side of Yeshua that got really, really ferociously angry and whipped the living snot out of the Jerry Falwells and the Robertsons and the Dobsons and the Kennedys, all sitting there inside the temple defiling it with their filthy presence. We've all got to get in touch with that. Maybe Jim Wallace can lead the way. This is Head On.
Station wheels and it deals. The crowds rush and scramble round past the newsstands and out across the floors. And I did some singing.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, in yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and coast guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he a... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs?
Sure about that?
Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Fifth.
To all you lucky dogs, it's heads or tails. Here's to all you filthy rich, I wish you well. Here's to all the pretty women made for cash. And here's to dashing daddy's son, he's such a flash. Well, I've been looking and walking around the Sunset Square, singing and talking with my friends down there.
Here's to roads of burning tar and hot cement. And here's to money in my hand and where it went. I got my fingers a-tapping on the hard stone steps. I'm waiting for lightning and the rain to fall. Young lovers are loafing with their sidewalk smiles and all their rainbow dreams. Amy Alice, in summer, with a sack lunch and a punch card. See my sister with a drag job. Oh man, she feels like she's 100 years ago. Well, here's to people living lives that they regret. Work your fingers to the bone and sink in debt. Here's to all the shaky tricks what hustlers try. You know their easy money is oftentimes hard. You know they flash a grin and they wink their eye. I've been living and breathing in the rat trap town, trying to get over where the wall breaks down. Holding my head up with my thin, tired arms and all my
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All right, 50 minutes to go. I'm Bob, just like B-Rez said. This is Head On. I got an email with a link in it from our buddy Peter in Tallahassee. Presumably out there listening in the Tom Hartman chat room with all of our other friends. Go to nationaljournal.com and read this. This is one of those hair on fire kind of things. I'll share excerpts of it with you. You know, of course, well, let's start with a little background. Let's let their own words speak for them, if we possibly can. Now, first of all, you want to, yeah, okay, that's cool. Stop the music. No, we want to let their words speak for them wherever they possibly can. Let's start with Dick Cheney. Now, unretouched, okay? No words have been pulled out of this. These are three separate statements by Dick Cheney. You give them a listen. We'll go from there.
There is no doubt that Saddam Hussein now has weapons of mass destruction.
I think they're in the... in the last throes, if you will, of the insurgency.
My belief is we will, in fact, be greeted as liberators.
And that's just a few of them. Let's see. How about December 9th, 2001, when Big Time Dick was on Meet the Prestitute? Quote,
It's pretty well confirmed that Atta did go to Prague, and he did meet with a senior official of the Iraqi intelligence service in the Czech Republic last April, several months before the attack.
Remember that, the meeting in Prague where they had the jelly donuts with the sprinkles on top? The only problem was we had his credit card records, and according to the credit card and phone records, sucker was in Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Well, yeah, I understand that, but you see, you're mischaracterizing the information there, Bob, because he was on Prague Street.
No, sorry. So there's that, and again, just yesterday, dear Rummy, you know, again, let him speak for himself, for heaven's sakes.
I'm sure the president understood what my views were, but as a technical matter, did he ever look and say, what should we do? Should we go do this or not do that? This is something that the president thought through very carefully.
Are you trying to distance yourself from the war with that?
Of course not. I agreed completely with the decision to go to war. And said that 100 times. And don't even suggest that.
I'm just asking.
Yeah, well, you know better.
Yeah, okay, we know better. No, again, we don't know better. Because, let's see, where was it? And you can find this in this article at National Journal. It's called Key Bush Intelligence Briefing Kept from Hill Panel. September 26, 2002, Rumsfeld. We have what we consider to be credible evidence that al-Qaeda leaders have sought contacts with Iraq who could help them acquire weapons of mass destruction capabilities.
The interesting thing to me about the pre-war intelligence is clearly it was wrong. It was wrong, but everyone saw the same thing in the executive branch, in the legislative branch, in the other countries.
You getting this?
It was presented at the UN.
No, because, see, that's the point. You remember those presidential daily briefings? Well, we've talked a lot about the presidential daily briefing of, say, August 6th, 2001. Remember the one titled, Bin Laden Determined to Strike in U.S., that kind of sleazy Rice, because she had been out at a Ferragamo shopping frenzy buying new stiletto heels or something, was convinced that it was a historical document. Remember that? Okay, this is straight off the copy by Murray Wass, special to the National Journal. 10 days after the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, President Bush was told in a highly classified briefing that the U.S. intelligence community had no evidence linking the Iraqi regime of Saddam Hussein to the attacks and that there was scant credible evidence that Iraq had any significant collaborative ties with al-Qaeda. It was provided to Bush on September 21, 2001, during the presidential daily briefing. You getting this? Well, they all saw the same thing. Everybody saw it. No, you know what? The Senate and the House of Representatives didn't get to see this. You know when this got to the Senate and the House? Summer 2004. And that was just the fact that it existed. The Intelligence Committee was only told that this daily briefing existed, not necessarily the contents thereof, just its existence. In summer 2004. It's interesting because, among other things, in that presidential daily briefing, President Pinhead was told that there wasn't much in the way of credible information coming out of there, but what little credible information they had of contacts between al-Qaeda and Saddam were attempts by Saddam to infiltrate al-Qaeda because he was scared to death of them toppling his regime. You following this?
Well, everybody had the same access to the same information. And it's reprehensible to suggest that the President of the United States would mislead the American people.
Really? Reprehensible? No, not reprehensible. I think, I don't know, maybe Dick's internal microwave-proof heart defibrillator stuttered. It's responsible to suggest that the President of the United States deliberately misled the people of the United States. It is responsible. It is patriotic. It is mandatory to suggest that because, by God, he did. Let's take a break and then some phone calls, perhaps. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I'm just a kid.
I'm six.
I'm nine.
I'm four and a half.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know
about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Because mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Roof fall accidents have declined significantly in recent years, but they still continue to claim the lives of too many working miners. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. No miner has to die from a roof fall accident. Miners and mine operators can take steps to reduce the likelihood of these tragic accidents in underground mines. Always follow the approved roof control plan for your mining operation. Make required roof examinations before starting work. Look at the roof closely, listen, and sound it out. Install additional roof support when you encounter adverse roof conditions. Always use maximum supervision and oversight when performing retreat mining operations. Never, ever walk or travel under unsupported roof. Make the right decision. Focus more attention on roof control in underground mines. Thank you for listening.
So, which one's yours?
The one at bat.
Strike two.
Oh, that's okay, Chris.
Only my kid could strike out in T-ball.
Oh, run, Chris, go!
Looks like he's having some trouble running.
Oh, he's wandering way off the baseline.
It's like he can't see.
Oh, my gosh, his helmet is too big.
It's as big as a bucket.
You know, I must have gotten him an adult one. What was I thinking?
You're out!
Oh.
When safety equipment doesn't fit, it's game over. That goes for your kid, too. If they're too big for a car seat, that doesn't mean they're the right size for an adult safety belt. If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat. It raises them up so the safety belt fits properly. And the right fit makes all the difference to their future. To learn more, visit www.boosterseat.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. 17 minutes after the hour. It's pretty stunning, isn't it?
Oh, they had the same information.
No, we didn't. Thanks, Peter. I appreciate you sending the link. Let's go back to the phones. Jim had another thought. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Just a quick one here.
Sure.
You know, Bush and Cheney and Rove and all these paladins of his, they haven't done this by themselves, as you well know. They've had the complicity of a Republican-led Congress, a Senate, and a House of Representatives, the intelligence committees of both of those houses have been emasculated by Republican leadership. And, you know, they have stymied the efforts of people to bring the truth to the surface. And the Republicans have trumpeted ever since the year 2000, we're in control. Well, here they are, and look at where we are now.
Yeah, look what it got us for our troubles.
And I say on their own heads, let it be.
I'm more than willing to let that happen, Jim. I honestly and earnestly am.
And I do believe that bill is coming due. That note will be paid. They can't get out of doing that.
Well, at some point, the American people are going to realize they've been hoodooed, no matter how many times Dick Cheney growls at somebody over it.
Well, 87%, according to the latest poll, realize that.
Yeah, and what can the 87% do, Jim? That's what just bugs the hell out of me.
Well, they could do an awful lot, and I think people are going to get real tired of what's been going on, and they're going to want their government in 2006 to take a different turn, and I hope that's what's going to happen.
Well, I hope it does, too, but, I there are other people that have said, you know, I don't know if we can wait till 2006.
Well, I don't know what you can do in the meanwhile.
I don't either.
But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I have a theory about Republicans. And the reason they're so screwed up, and the reason that their thought processes are about as flawed as their belief in supply-side economics is.
Okay.
I think it's like, and Bette Midler really hit it right on the head.
All right.
They're cracking up from like shacking up.
There's a lot of truth in that. I mean, after all, we had the biggest economic expansion in American history at the same time they were having a hissy over Bill Clinton and a consensual sex act?
Yeah. I mean, you know, these people are so jealous as ugly. Both of them are just ugly as homemade sin and have the appeal of a clam with no pearl in it that they probably have difficulty in finding any type of loving companionship. And you can imagine what their marriages must be like when they have these marriages. I mean, good Lord. Like, for example, Dan and Marilyn Quayle.
Well, yeah, certainly.
I mean, you've heard...
Well, Dan and Marilyn, George and Laura. Look what Lynn Cheney was doing while Dick was ignoring her.
You know, as far as all these people are concerned, I think that Condoleezza's not the only one wearing Ferragamo pumps. Behind closed shades at night. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, that's... Jeff Gannon, calling Jeff Gannon. Jimmy Dale Guckert.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just, I mean, they're all sorts of just, like, basic psychological inconsistencies in these people's minds, and I honestly and truly believe that many of them are incapable of realizing and emoting the truth.
Well, Jim, a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of talk out there. There's, God knows, been plenty written about it, about the trials and tribulations of people who are forced by virtue of, what, prejudices against human sexuality to live in the closet. And supposedly that closeted lifestyle is a miserable thing and drives you to self-loathing, self-hating,
alcoholism,
drug problems.
Yeah.
And look at the litany we have from the Republican right now. I mean, you've got Ken Mellman, who is has been outed. Scotty McClellan, outed.
You mean the press secretary?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, he's at least a known devotee of the Austin, Texas gay bar scene. Now, I don't know.
Oh,
maybe
really?
maybe you go there because they play the best dance music. I don't know. And this certainly isn't any kind of a again, it's like religion. Do what you want to do as long as everybody's consenting.
You mean they have gay line dancing?
Oh, I imagine they do.
That's just kind of an oxymoron to me. I thought that gay people only like disco. I mean, God, I don't know.
Well, but you get the idea, and it goes on and on and on. The ranks of closeted gays in the Republican administration. You know,
look at that log cabin club they have.
Well, sure, but they're not closeted.
But I mean, I just wonder acceptance, or are they just told give it a big shh?
Well, yeah. Well, it's also been much trumpeted about that there's a particular reason that the ambassador to Poland is the ambassador to Poland. He's a former mayor of Knoxville or Chattanooga, and long rumored to have a very special relationship with George W. Bush.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
you know, I've lived in Washington, and it's all filled with all kinds of things about people. Remember Pete Weebs when he used to be the voice of Desert Storm under Dick Cheney?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he was on the front page of The Advocate. You remember that?
Oh, sure. I don't doubt that in the least.
And you know, when Pete was on TV announcing what was going on in the first Persian Gulf War, these guys that he knew say, "Hey, I dated that guy."
Mercy.
And, you know, it went into The Advocate, that gay magazine or whatever it is.
Well,
there's a big stink about it.
Well, I think you probably got it. Anything, and I'm not necessarily talking about sexuality. You know, it can be a drug problem, a booze problem. It'll get out there eventually. It'll come to light, and it'll destroy people who don't deal with the problems that they have. And what's his name? David Dreyer in California. We actually pay the salary of his live-in lover.
Now, who is he?
He's a California Republican congressman. Kitty Kelly remarked, there were remarks about him in the Kitty Kelly book about the Bushes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Babs Bush couldn't understand why when she sent Dorothy out to date David Dreyer that nothing came of that relationship.
Well, did somebody clue her in?
Not to my knowledge. It's not the sexuality, it's not the lifestyle choices, it's the hypocrisy about them. I want people to understand, because, again, I'm a liberal, I'm a progressive, I want people to live a happy life. I don't care if a couple of guys want to pick out a China pattern. I honestly don't care.
I don't either.
I mean,
there are more important things to be concerned with in the first place, and they should, and the shibboleth should be live and let live.
Sure. And, you know, that and the all these social issues, I mean, I talk about a lot of them, but I try to talk about them from the standpoint of discussing why they're so irrelevant, why they're so hateful, why they're so foolish, and why gay marriage may be destroying our country, but it's not because of the idea of gay marriage. It's because of the response of a bunch of hateful, bigoted, intolerant pukes to the idea of people.
They use that issue to distract the attention of their followers.
They do it.
And they use things like that to detract the
attention. Sure they do.
And the focus of where people's minds should be focused on easier things that are so easy to attack and so just socially abhorrent that they use it with great dexterity. I mean, they've done it in two elections now.
Great dexterity, Jim, and great cynicism.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and these people are just as bad as the people they try to out and people they try to, denounce. And, you know, it's just utter hypocrisy.
But again, to return to an earlier theme, Jim, what kills me is the fact that these people who are being dragged out by these issues don't understand how thoroughly they're being used. Michael Scanlon, you know, was an associate of Tom DeLay and Ralph Reed and Jack Abramoff in dealing with these ripoffs of these Indian tribes with these casino issues.
Uh-huh.
And they were talking about, and the one case in particular, the Tigua tribe wanted to open a casino. And the other Indian tribes came to Abramoff and Scanlon and said, don't let them do it. And then they started the wheels in motion, and Scanlon said it in an email. He said, what we'll do is we'll get the information out to the religious wackos and let them howl about it while everybody else pays it no attention.
And the religious wackos were supposed to be upset because the Indians were going to have a casino?
Well, you know, it's gambling, and you know, they gambled for Jesus' vestments. That's how they work them. But even they, on the inside, acknowledge that, I mean, they call them wackos. These people who take their faith very seriously, even if it's horribly, horribly, horribly misguided. And the people who are using them call them wackos, and they go on, and this is the point where I guess you decide whether these people are worthy of any degree of sympathy. They go on after knowing that they're called this, and they allow themselves to be used anyway.
Well, I'll tell you, man, when they whistle, they come like Labrador retrievers. They really do.
Daggum right they do.
I mean, it's like a Pavlovian response that they have created with these people.
That's exactly right. And, you know, they lean, once again, it's a gang of people cherry-picking Bible verses and leaning on one verse over another. In this case, you know, you shall be persecuted in my name for my sake. Well, okay, so they call us wacko. Let's vote Republican some more. Jim, we got to get out of here.
Later.
Take care. All right, let's do something fun with the last half hour. Why don't you pick it out? This is Head On.
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who is gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible. A cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
I said quit racking that slide, Agnes. All right, 27 and a half minutes before the hour. We've got a little room to wedge in a little bit of fun yet. Backing up, because I love this story. I love shining, what did I say earlier? Truth to Cheney is like sunshine to a vampire. We chatted some about Danny Bopp. Well, just so you'll know, Danny Bopp and Gene Schmidt together were awarded 10 Commandments Awards. Display it and live it by this Schenck creep. The Reverend Schenck, who runs the 10 Commandments Foundation. Well, in a former life, he was involved with the really, 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 really hateful killer wing of the anti-abortion movement. He was part and parcel of the organization that was complicit in the murder of Barnett Slepian. And he's out giving 10 Commandments Awards to Gene Schmidt. And what's his name? Bopp. Colonel Bopp. And bear in mind that this Schenck was also questioned for a time by the Secret Service when, at the National Cathedral some years back, he tried to hand a dead fetus to Bill Clinton and whispered in Clinton's ear, "God will judge you for your actions." Yeah, that's the upstanding moral crowd. Wayne's with us on the phone. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
What's happening?
Well, I just wanted to tell you something. I'm not going to talk about fun.
Oh, okay.
But I'll talk about something that's not funny anymore.
Okay.
I believe that was the song that was playing.
Yeah.
The RNs at Appalachian Hospital are under attack again.
Oh, no.
Yes, yes. Management has decided that even though they have been paying registered nurses 40 hours for working 312s.
Yeah.
312s come to 36.
Right.
Because they're willing to do that, they pay them for 40 hours. Well, they decided that they can no longer do that and want to take that away from them.
Okay, and what do they want to do now?
Well, they, you know, have tactics like we'll go to 4-8 or 5-8s, you know, which, you know, that's stupid.
Well, but they're still
schedule that.
Oh, I remember when we were interviewing these fine ladies back before it got me thrown off the air.
Yeah, right. They're the ones that are responsible. Gotta love the nurses.
Yeah. Well, we if you remember, we talked to some of them, and one of the things that I was told was, yeah, we do 4/12s, but those 12s have a cute little way of turning into unpaid 13s and 14s and 15s.
Right.
So if there's 4/12s, what's going to happen when they turn into 5/8s that are actually 12s? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. You know, the thing is we have these people are going to need public support.
Absolutely.
You know, because the hospital acts, you know, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they're in violation of the contract, you know. And, you know, I'm sure their lawyers have some kind of argument about, oh, well, it's not really in the contract or whatever. Well, there's a thing in labor law called past practice.
Yeah.
You've been paying these people for 6 years, 40 hours for working 36.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of their contract.
Well,
you're more lawyerly than I.
But we're talking about a collective bargaining unit. Can the, for heaven's sake, Wayne, can management just come in and unilaterally renegotiate the contract with not so much as a by-year leave?
Bob, did any of us ever conceive of management being able to come in and cancel the pensions that they've promised you for 40 years?
No, man, no.
Well, that's where we're at, brother.
Management, oh, my God.
They could do anything they can.
Well, because
the administration and these people and these right-wing people have empowered them to that. I mean, what the hell? They've gotten away with it. Why can't they continue? And it's time. You know, these are, you know, you're talking about very important members of society here. And believe me, I have a great amount of experience with nurses
mm-hmm.
recently.
Yeah.
They're very respectable people. These are the people, if your loved one goes in the hospital, find out who your nurses are.
Yeah,
the doctor drops by occasionally so he could send you a big damn bill. These are the people that take care of your loved ones and save their lives. And they're going to need support, and that's what I'm telling you about, that if they keep pushing this thing, there's going to be informational rallies and things in support of these nurses.
And they'll get
public support.
Yeah, and they'll get suspended again, just like last time.
Well, and there's another update, too, and I don't know how many people are listening or do they know, but the nurses over what we demonstrated for earlier won their case. You know, the NLRB, the National Labor Relations Board, which is run by Republicans, threw out the hospital's case and threw out their appeal.
Now, did they have to reinstate the missing monies and everything that went with that suspension?
I didn't get into it that far, but generally the NLRB has a thing called making whole.
Yeah. That's
I would imagine that happened. I don't know. I'll find out. And if it didn't, I want to know why it didn't happen.
Well, you know, I hope these ladies know how much we are behind them. And I mean,
well, I want to make, you know,
we laid it on the line for them.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. And rightfully so.
Well, hell yes.
And rightfully so.
I mean, it's not like it was a real moral quagmire for me to make that decision, Wayne.
You know, and I mean, here's corporate America at its finest. We all know there's a healthcare crisis. We all know that healthcare costs are out of control. Out of control. So what's these people's solution?
Pick on the nurses.
Workers' wages. You know, what does Massey make? What's his salary?
Oh, now let's not confuse people. We're talking about Rocco here.
Yeah, right. Exactly. What's all the executive and board? You know, I don't know. What do these people make? You know, this is not how you cure the health care crisis.
Yeah, but see, if you cut
the cost.
But see, if you cut back on executive salaries, that would be communism.
That wouldn't be the first time I was called that.
But I'm being a little bit facetious, Wayne. But you understand it.
Oh, I do understand. But see, I think that, you know, well, I think I'm praying, I'm hoping that there is a great awakening happening, and you know, and I think this should carry on and to these people. I really do. I have to believe that because, well, if I believed otherwise, then you know, why even bother?
Well, exactly. You know, you're wasting your time out there standing up for four canned workers at the Walmart site.
Yeah, exactly. Time to take off all your clothes and go sit in the middle of the road. You know what I mean?
There's a Beatles song about that, isn't there?
Is there? I don't know. I knew them guys once.
Well, I'm glad you could update us on that.
I'm going to keep updating you because I think this is a very important issue. And like I say, if you know.
Well, please let these fine ladies know that you know if they want to talk about their issues, for heaven's sake, that you know there's a forum to do it. I mean, I'm sure. Well, as far as talk radio is concerned, on a local basis, this is the only forum because God knows you can't get any reasonable discussion anywhere else anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's a very good point. And I wanted to bring that up to a caller that got the call last night.
Yeah.
You know, and got to voice his opinion and his views.
Didn't get screamed at.
Yeah, he didn't get yelled at or yelled down or all that. You can't do that on here. I can't call that show.
No. Freedom.
So, I mean, this is true democracy radio.
Yeah.
We'll listen to you. You know, no disrespect.
It may turn out.
We agree with you, but we'll respect your.
Yeah, you may turn out to be crazier than a sprayed roach, but, you know, we'll give you your say.
Right, and we'll always take care of you. You know, because you're going to need help later on.
Yeah, because, you know, unless you're independently wealthy and printing your own in the basement, yeah, you know, somebody's going to have to be looking out for your rights somewhere along the way.
Yes, they are.
Well, you know, I wasn't kidding. When I announced the return of this program, I said, you know, free speech was returning to Southern West Virginia. And, you know, the focus of this show is West Virginia. We talk about some national issues, but from a sort of up-the-holler perspective, if you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean.
And as far as I'm concerned, going through the radio dial, there is no free speech radio in this area. None whatsoever, and I'm not just isolating Beckley. Charleston has that problem, to a certain extent. At least after dark, Huntington has that problem. After dark, Wheeling has that problem. After dark, they have that problem all over the state of West Virginia. I mean, I'm it. You know what I mean?
I couldn't disagree with that at all. You are it. We have to figure out how to expand that.
Well, you know. All in the world we do, Wayne, is build ratings.
Well, but listen,
proven winner.
We just got to keep going here.
Sure, you know, absolutely.
That's all.
Well, and, you know, when you talk to these nurses or their union rep or anything, just remind them we're here, and you know, we grow a little bit every day. There's a few more listeners out there every day, and this is the outlet for that.
Exactly. You know, there's also a bunch of these nurses in Kentucky.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it's that hospital system that's doing this to them.
Exactly, and this is these people belong to the Kentucky Nurses Association.
And how interesting that this hospital system, Appalachian Regional Hospitals, I mean, might as well go ahead and name it, how interesting that this is supposedly a not-for-profit organization.
Yes, isn't, you know, what the hell does that mean? Can you explain? I mean, you know.
Well, I know what it's supposed
profit,
to mean.
What? Because whatever profit we have, we give to the CEO, therefore that was his salary, so we didn't make any profit. Is that what that means?
Well, I think that's the modern interpretation. I don't think that was the original intent or spirit of the law.
Who built these hospitals?
That would be the UMWA, wouldn't it?
Yes, and I believe that John L. Lewis was at many dedications.
Well, I know he was at the dedication of the one in Beckley. It was the Miners Hospital, for heaven's sakes.
Yes, it was.
And it was state-of-the-art at the time.
Right. Isn't it ironic that a guy named Massey, I guess I shouldn't say that.
There's irony by the dragline load in that,
yeah,
way.
Yeah, right. Well, at least, you know. At least they can't pull your advertising, Bob.
Oh man, that one
ain't got none.
Yeah, that one.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah, that one went right between the ribs, man. You know how to hurt a guy. All right.
I'm sorry, man.
That's okay. Take it easy, man. Good to hear from you.
All right, brother.
Later. Okay, quick break. This is Head On, because you ain't got no advertisers. Thank you.
you?
Hello. Can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who is gone?
Hello?
Hello. My name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing, it's not an option, it's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Welcome back. Okay, about 12 minutes before the hour, and a couple of program notes. Number one being, I've come to the decision that I'm not doing a Thursday show. I was gonna, but I'd be a mess because it's the WVU Pitt game, and you know we've only been doing that series since 1895, and some things, you know, it's one of those traditional family values things. Sometimes you want to just sit down with your dad and watch a football game, and that's going to happen that night. The other note, of course, if you know, you know, if you know somebody with a labor issue, if you know somebody being abused by their employer, for heaven's sakes, clue them into the show. It's a place where, well, one of our listeners, Paul, up in Boston, mentioned it's nice to be able to hear someone talk about family and labor issues without it labor being made to sound like it's some sort of a monster. I don't know where that notion came from, except for the fact that it started in the Reagan administration. It started before that, but it really got a toehold there. Because good wages, pension, benefits, that kind of thing, those didn't suddenly become bad 25 years ago. They've always been good and good for America. They made America what it is. It's this attack by the kleptocrats that has attacked middle class wages and middle class family values. Jim Wallace said it very well in his essay that we went over an hour or so ago. Enriching the richest of the rich at the expense of the middle class and the poor is nothing approaching American, compassionate, or conservative. And a couple of high points to hit just before we close the show out tonight. You may or may not know. You remember Jose Padilla, the American citizen? Jose Padilla, the dirty bomber? The guy who was going to set off a dirty bomb in Poughkeepsie or Peoria or you know, wherever? And was held without charge, without access to a lawyer, without access to his family, just held as if he were not an American, as if he had no rights by the Bush administration. Yeah, that Jose Padilla. Well, he's finally been indicted. He's 35 years old, a convert to Islam. Well, that goes without saying because, you understand how it is with the Bushes. He was indicted by a Miami federal grand jury yesterday, or no, last Thursday, I'm sorry. See, I don't know, Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday, Sunday, I'm in a loop. No, he was indicted Thursday. I guess the indictment was unsealed today. Federal grand jury this past Thursday on charges he and four others were part of a U.S.-based terrorism conspiracy to, quote, murder, maim, and kidnap people overseas. Murder, maim, and kidnap people overseas. And it alleges that he traveled overseas to train as a terrorist. What's missing from the indictment? The allegation that he was a dirty bomber. It's what he... Do you remember when this went down? I remember being on, I guess what, I-64, going into Charleston, hearing it on the radio, and hearing the breathless announcement by the leading statewide right-wing yacker during the pre-noon hours in this state. Oh, they've caught a dirty bomber. Oh, he was going to set off a dirty bomb in wherever he could put a dirty bomb and set it off and stuff, you know. Oh, the Bush administration is really protecting us against the terrorists. I remember it well. And in a court case, the U.S. District Court finally said, look, either charge him or let him go. Bush administration said, the heck with you, we're not letting him go. But they finally did charge him. And they had to trump up a bunch of foolishness about him traveling over to learn how to make bombs out of Frisbees and Wheat Chex just like MacGyver or something. But no charge that he was the dirty bomber because they never had a shred of evidence for it. In conjunction with that, the prosecutor of the case in Michigan, the Detroit sleeper cell, remember the Detroit sleeper cell? Well, that prosecutor stands a chance of being investigated, charged, and tried himself because that case turns out to have been a cooked-up load of hooey. Yeah, the prosecutors in that case stepped down as U.S. attorney for whatever, the Southern District of Michigan or whatever that particular subdivision is. After it became apparent that the United States government, in its case against the sleeper cell, had manufactured evidence, withheld evidence from the defense. See, here in America, if you actually have evidence that somebody's not guilty, you have to turn it over to the defense. You can't just say, shh, we're not going to tell anybody. Aren't we cute? You can't do that. So, that's two. And so, no dirty bomber. And a good chance that the sleeper cell was a bunch of right-wing hooey. But there is a potential bomber out there, and he is loose today. Dateline London. A civil servant has been charged under Britain's Official Secrets Act for allegedly leaking a government memo that, according to a newspaper in England, said Tuesday, that would be today, earlier today, I'm really confused, suggested that Prime Minister Tony Blair talked George Bush out of bombing Al Jazeera.
Well, that'd be fine by me if he'd bomb that Al Jazeera. All they do is talk about that un-American stuff, like how American troops opened fire on van loads of little children in Iraq. Well, I don't care if it's true. I don't need to be saying that kind of un-American stuff.
So... well, you get the idea. Now, tomorrow's Wednesday. I don't know what we'll do for a prayer meeting. We'll have the prayer meeting anyway, but hey, look, you can have more than one prayer meeting in a week, can't you? The show tonight was produced by the lovely, lovely Agnes. And, of course, it's announced every night by our friend Brian Reznor. Engineered this whole setup by Randy Kerbway. Ben Birch manages the stream, as well as the archives, and the archives of many other fine liberal and progressive programs at whiterosesociety.org. If you've got a little bit of spare change or something like that, by all means, help him out. The show is brought to you every night, of course, by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Remember, please remember, they are building the American dream. And most of all, and always finally, RMR, it's all for you.